This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we have John Burroughs, Nick Pope, talking about Rendlesham Forest. Okay, we're trying to discuss the memories of hypnotic regression with John Burroughs. Interactions with the phenomena, or phenomenon, since it's a singular. All right, do you recall any beings or creatures, or just the craft?
It appears, under hypnosis, there's not a real mention of a craft. There's not a mention of beings, but the phenomenon itself is intelligent. So there, what I'm trying to get at is the actual phenomena and the little blue lights are the intelligence, but it's an energy, not like a being, as most people say. So besides the papers, then under hypnosis, there does appear to be an interaction with it to possibly telepathic contact and stuff that went on. But I stress this is hypnosis, not what I remember.
Okay, so undergoing this experience didn't bring to your conscious existence these memories.
No, I mean, I'm real careful. See, hypnosis, a lot of people argue it's hard what to deal with. It's clear under my hypnosis, the majority of the time, I'm not being led or anything else. I'm asked a question and then I go forward with what I remember, what goes on. But I don't remember it vividly after the hypnosis. I just know it came out under hypnosis. And to be honest with you, the stuff under hypnosis is really hard to deal with because you look at it and you go, wow. And then what really disturbed me is after I got a hold of these papers and started looking into them and started doing research on them, some of the papers actually support what comes out under hypnosis.
Interesting.
How so? How do they support?
I mean, about the phenomenon, it being an energy, that, you know, there is an interaction. If you break it down, that's why Nick, I wish we'd break it down a little bit more because he's covered it more. He had a lot to do with the whole report being done and released. But there clears to be something to it. It's irrefutable that it exists. It's irrefutable that it's had interactions, even with aircraft, and this stuff's went on. And what my hypnosis is telling me is what these papers are saying. Now, the big problem is what is it for sure? Where does it come from? Is it capable of interstellar travel? You know, and think of it this way. In these papers, it goes into the fact that all the governments of the world, the major ones, are interested in this. They're looking at it to be used as weapons. China, Russia, America, Britain, everything. Within the papers itself, it says they're looking at it, how it can evade radar, then be on radar, how it can come and go, different things that it can do. And if you look at that, even some of the technology we're now having the ability to do, including there was a working paper out saying there's going to be a day when soldiers – they'll be able to communicate telepathically. All this stuff could very well be coming from this phenomena, which the governments are aware of, and they're not talking openly about it to the public. It's being kept under the black world and the white world, the white science isn't working with. There's a lot to this, and it's hard to digest somewhat, and Nick has a better background in this than I do, but it's there, and it just seems to constantly be overlooked.
I want to ask Nick about that in a moment. Just to remind our listeners, you know, sometimes sci-fi kind of gives you ideas about our real life. And, of course, there was a cult TV series called Farscape in the late 90s, early 2000s. And one of the spacecraft used in the show was a living creature itself. It was itself a living creature capable of interstellar travel. So there you go. Nick, you had some more information to amplify what John said?
Yes, just building on a couple of the points that John first raised there. I mean, in relation to kind of missing time and exposure to radiation, if I can just read a couple of direct quotes from the Project Condyne final report, I think this might help. First reads, an important fact is that the reporting effect of presumed UAP radiation on humans is that it is quick-acting and remembered, although, curiously, following the event, there is little or no recall of events as a continuum. In short, the witness often reports apparent gaps or lost time, often not accounting for up to several hours. It is described as if the exposure causes a temporary memory erasure. So that's the first one. The second one I want to pick up on is John's point about weaponization. Again, this is a really important point about Project Condyne that the media and the UFO community completely missed through just skimming through the executive summary, essentially. But buried rather deeper in the paper, one reads this. There is evidence that scientists in the former Soviet Union have taken a particular interest in UFO phenomena. They have identified the close connection with plasma technologies and are pursuing related techniques for potential military purposes. For example, very high power energy generation, RF weapons, impulse radars, air vehicle drag and radar signature reduction or control, and possibly for radar reflecting decoys. In other words, when it talks about RF weapons, we are talking directed energy weapons, radio frequency weapons. And indeed, that turned into one of the recommendations of the entire study. And it read, the relevance of plasma and magnetic fields to UAP was an unexpected feature of the study. It is recommended that further investigations should be undertaken into the applicability of various characteristics in various novel military applications. And that's a direct quote. Now, it's those novel military applications that, of course, are driving the fact that much of this is still classified, because if the R&D world, the research and development world, not just in government, of course, but critically in defense corporations and aerospace firms, are working on this in terms of developing new technologies and new capabilities, that, of course, is going to be highly sensitive and classified.
You know, from what you say, that implies they must have access to one of these, whatever they are, one of these UFOs or UAPs or whatever, because just having something which is here and gone again, how does that influence research? Wouldn't you want to have some kind of hands-on? Can they have a hands-on?
I don't know. I mean, yes, what you say has an absolute logic to it, but I have no knowledge of whether that's true or not in terms of an actual capability that's somewhere in government.
Okay, Rendlesham, it's nearly 34 years ago. Is there a more recent equivalent sighting?
Not on
or is this
scale.
By itself?
No, it's pretty standalone, Gene.
That's what I was wanted to ask for the sake of our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, this case to me is really, you know, one of a kind, and I know I've upset quite a few people in the UFO community by saying this case is bigger and more important than Roswell. What I really meant by that was obviously a big factor there is just the recentness of this in terms of if you wanted now to do a cold case review of Roswell, pretty much all the primary witnesses are dead, whereas with Rendlesham, they're not. So, I mean, self-evidently, you are much better able to dig into this and
Nick, you're running the risk of the villagers grabbing their torches and coming after you with pitchforks, boy, if you start...
Well, yeah, they have already. And, you know, one of the reasons for this, I think it's actually quite interesting, is that I think we've managed to upset just about everyone with this book. The skeptics, of course, don't like it because, you know, with particularly the material on Project Condyne, it is undeniable that this is a real phenomenon of some sort and that government do take it extremely seriously despite the denials. On the other hand, the believers, the true believers, don't like the book either because I think they've maybe looked to Jim and John almost to be, I don't know, poster boys for this subject. But they won't be led, and actually they're pretty skeptical about, well, this is not necessarily extraterrestrials coming to visit us. And, of course, that's not what the true believers want to hear. They don't necessarily want to hear about exotic atmospheric plasma phenomena that can maybe interact with people.
Nick Pope, John Burroughs are with us. The book, Encounter, in Rendlesham Forest with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Our guests, Nick Pope, John Burroughs, the book Encounter in Rendlesham Forest. Now, as you probably know, Nick, the Paracast is one of the few radio shows that covers UFOs where we don't assume that UFOs are spaceships.
A healthy and refreshing approach, because I think anything else is conclusion-led. And actually, yeah, this kind of insistence that we must be dealing with aliens so blinds most of the UFO community that the moment people like Jim and John come up with something, and then it maybe takes you to a different and arguably rather more interesting area, people kind of don't want to hear. And the irony is that we get accused of being debunkers of this. And I've seen more than one review of the book where it's been suggested the whole book, and Jim, John, and myself are part of some sinister CIA disinformation campaign, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, obviously he hadn't read the book. There's just too much. I mean, the book is just so meticulously researched and laid out. And one of the things that really struck me about the incident, it's something that was not known immediately afterwards, at least as soon as the public found out about the case. And that was Jim's, for some reason, he got a communication that compelled him to write down in his little notebook, which you reproduce in the book, page by page by page, a series of binary code that goes on for page after page after page. John, why don't you give our new listeners a little bit of background on this particular aspect of the case, and then we can follow up and find out about any sort of reverse engineering of the code and what that code might say, what we've learned about it.
Sure. Basically, because, you know, it came out when we were working on a 30-year anniversary, going back over there, trying to go back together, trying to get more people involved. And we were actually doing a piece with, it's a series called Ancient Aliens Prometheus Entertainment. They originally, before the codes came out, were going to just do a 15-20 minute clip on Rendlesham within an hour piece. Nick had been interviewed, Colonel Hall, I believe, and some other people had been interviewed, including another guy that was involved in an incident. It was called the Cosford incident, which some has a little bit of parallels to our incident that Nick knows about. But anyway, when we were doing the filming in Phoenix, we're going through the notebook and talking about it, and then all of a sudden these zeros and ones were there. I like, what's that? And from there, what happened was everybody comes rushing over. The people that were there, Linda Moulton Howell and the producers, or the people that were working on it, knew it was binary. And it took off from there. And what had happened after that was they started talking to him about that. Then they asked him if they could take some of it themselves and have it analyzed. Because Jim had said right there on the spot he didn't think it meant that much. He didn't know what it was, and he said basically, here you go, take a look at it. I don't think it's going to mean anything, and that's why I never really said anything about it. So they ran it, and they came back with, you know, coordinates, which people say it could either be High Brazil out in the ocean by Ireland or actually Woodbridge Town Center. But they did come up with the coordinates and a message. So they went ahead, unbeknownst to me, especially till the end, and I'm not sure how much Jim was kept abreast, they went ahead and made a whole show on it. And I always had trouble with it because as soon as I saw where they were going with this, they basically had Jim looking like he was the Messiah, that he received a message, you know, and everything else. And then if you go into the book, all the coordinates are laid out. There are different coordinates around the world, and there's even more of a message there. So he touched this, felt like he had a download. On Saturday morning, he kept feeling it run through his mind. So he sat down, wrote it down. Once he wrote it down, he felt better. Didn't want to tell anybody about it because he was concerned at that point, which I can understand. You go telling people you had these ones and zeros, you're writing it down, you're going to get really into duty. You're going to be you're going to go to the psychologist. They're going to start checking you out. And at that point, your career could be over because they're going to have to decide whether that's important or not. And if it is, your career's not going to go much farther. So that's the gist of, you know, the fact that he touched it, felt like he had a download, a flash of light, a download, wrote it down. Then Prometheus took it, looked at it. They made the interpretation of High Brazil and, the initial messages. Then it went out as a whole show, which I don't think was fair. I understand it put it out, but it really implied that he had some kind of interaction for sure. And, you know, it just wasn't very well done to me. Then it was deciphered more. Linda Moulton Howe had a couple of people. I believe the one guy's Red Collie. Another guy, I can't remember his name, but he's in North Carolina. Unfortunately, he's passed. Then another guy by the name of Joe Luciano's looked at it. And that's where you'll get the whole message of what it was.
What does that message say in a nutshell? I mean,
I don't have it in front of me right now. Nick, do you?
Yes, I do. The text portion Foundation essentially says exploration of humanity, continuous for planetary advance, eyes of your eyes, origin year 8100. There are then, in between those text portions, there are the latitude and longitudes, which coincide with a number of sites, which are certainly significant and interesting sites, the Temple of Apollo in Naxos in Greece, the Great Pyramid in Giza, Sedona in Arizona, the Nazca Lines in Peru. So I think an awful lot of people have looked at this and kind of put their own interpretation on this. I think there's a danger of being very anthropocentric with this, and I think people see what they want to see.
Especially TV production companies.
Indeed.
Well, that kind of begs the question, John. You moved to Sedona, Arizona. Did that have anything to do with the coordinates as they were interpreted in the binary code?
Well, I mean, I was curious. I've been up to the site. What's interesting, this Red Collie guy that did some work on it and now got all the stuff, he said he feels it's down at Montezuma Wells, which is another burial site stuff out south of Sedona.
It's about 3 miles from my house.
Right. He feels that's the location, which is what we wanted. We wanted this to put out and have people and scientific people start looking at it. I've always felt, because of the way it is, there might even be more to it if you look at it differently, even another message. But Sedona ultimately came down to my son wanting to get out of the valley and try to school up here and stuff. And, yeah, it was cool to be up here, too. And, you know, I could look into it a little closer. Unfortunately, I got sick right after I moved up here, so I couldn't do some of the stuff I wanted. But directly, no. But indirectly, yeah, there was something, too. It was cool to be able to come up here for a while, so.
Huh. So Montezuma's Well is more of the thinking of the analyst that would be the
spot. One of the analysts feels that way. Red Collie, he's the one that looked at it originally and didn't get all the data, but now that he's had it, he feels it could be down there. Now, in saying that, that's the important part of this. There's different interpretations being made about it. And ultimately, it needs to be put together. I really do feel that. And I've always felt that these coordinates don't necessarily mean that ground of dirt is important, but it's the area itself. If you look at what's interesting to me about the Temple of Apollo is there's an island not very far away from that that's where Revelations was written. Now, if you go to eyes, and if you go to eyes of your eyes, that can be interpreted partially as Jesus Christ.
We've got more to come from John Burroughs and Nick Pope. The book Encounter in Rendlesham Forest with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Americans have always been ready to defend, to serve, and to honor those who defended and are defending all of us. So this month, the Freeze-Dry Guy honors and serves Americans with our meat, rice, and potato sale. Our unit includes 4 number 10 cans of quality Mountain House cooked diced beef, ground beef, diced chicken, white rice, and 2 cans of FDG dehydrated diced potatoes. 158 servings per case unit. And during the Freeze-Dry Guy's meat, rice, and potato sale, get 1 case for only $1. $8.79. Two cases for only $3.55. Or get three cases for only $5.15. And all come with lots of valuable freebies. For details, click freezedryguy.com and hurry. Sale ends soon. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Plus, free shipping to the lower 48 states from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with John Burroughs and Nick Pope, Chris was about to respond to John's comments. Chris?
Yeah, Montezuma's Well is a pretty important sacred site to the Hopi. In fact, the Butterfly Clan does a pilgrimage there every year, and I just find it very interesting because if I go just to the top of my hill about a block away and look, I can see the rim of Montezuma's Well from from just a couple blocks from my house. So that's a neat little eye opener for me today. Well, how's that fire doing up there? As we are taping this show on Thursday, we have about a 5,000 acre fire that's taken out the west side of Oak Creek Canyon from about the halfway point all the way up and over the rim, and it seems like it might be headed towards Flagstaff. Any news on that fire, John?
Only thing I've heard is, yeah, this winds have calmed down. They're going after it, and it's moving north away from Sedona and stuff. But getting back to those, what you're saying about that area, every one of these sites pretty much are sacred sites, areas. They're areas that, you know, have ancient civilizations tied to it. I mean, they just do. I mean, it would just be so cool if there would be more, you know, more research done on this, you know, open research, instead of immediately scoffing at this and wanting to attack Jim for not doing it for 30 years. Why don't you take a look at the data? It means something, and see what you can do with it just before you attack the guy and go after him for it.
Yeah. Well, so it was written down in other words, the evidence chain, the provenance of that particular notebook can be traced back to his encounter.
Yeah, when I looked at the notebook, you know, it was all, the pages were all the same color. It was the same colored ink. You know, it went in order, you know, down the line, because we were looking at a particular date and stuff, and then it came after. Initially, I'll go ahead and say what happened. Jim, and this just tells me something about his character. We had a documentary that won something different a while back, and we said, hey, why don't you date the paper and ink? And they said, yeah. And I says, well, I want you to know it's going to cost about $5,000 to do it. The lady doing it, I don't think had the final approval. She got all excited. They got a hold of one of the pieces of it. They took it. And then all of a sudden at the end, they 86'd the actual doing it. And we were going to have, his last name is Woods. Who are the guys that do this kind of stuff?
Ryan.
I believe it is. Yeah, Ryan. They were going to contact them and actually set up a whole thing doing it. But when they found out the cost of it, they backed off, and they had somebody look at it and say it appears to be dated from that time frame. But Jim had released one of the pages of it to them and was going to allow them to do all that. So that just kind of tells you that, you know, if it wasn't like he said it was, he wouldn't have released it and allowed him to do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the money situation got too cost prohibitive for this low budget documentary to do it. But I can't speak for him now, but I bet you if somebody contacted him and was legit about it, he might consider it again.
Wow. For that to bear out, that would be some pretty compelling evidence. You're compelled to sit down and write page after page of binary code.
Right, and I would have to say it would have to be legit. You know what I mean? It had to be a chain of custody, somebody willing to put the funding up front and do it. Because he was willing to do it before, so I don't see why he wouldn't do it again.
No. Well, you know, we got a bunch of questions here for you guys at forum.theparacast.com, where we have the question thread where you can ask questions of each week's guest. And one of our longtime posters, Blowfish, he's been here at the Paracast almost 5 years now. He just has a general question, first of all, about what your thoughts are on the impact on servicemen and women who encounter these events of so-called UFO incidents on military bases. How have you made an attempt to reach out to other people that have had similar events, for instance, the Malmstrom Air Force Base guys in the missile silos? Have you dovetailed your health research and looked into the effect of these events on unwitting service people?
Not yet, but that is an important question, and that's something that should be done. Because I think that if people will look at the book, if they will look at more stuff coming out on Condyne and what's going on, maybe they'll realize, you know, because one of the things it says in the Condyne report is, when you look at this, it can make you look at it differently. In other words, you're going to perceive it for what you can perceive it as. So it would help explain some of the different things people claim they've seen. So the thing is that's one of the things that I'm looking, like Nick said, looking at it closer now, working on this. And I hope people that listen to this and follow this start asking some questions too, because I mean, a lot of this stuff doesn't necessarily show up right away if you got close to it. It can take years before you start showing effects of what happens.
That's true. Well, we have some other questions here. Eric the Red, who's been a poster at forum.theparacast.com for the past year. He doesn't post many messages, but when he does, they're usually questions for our guests. And he wants to know if you can explain or give us some insight into Colonel Ted Conrad's dismissal of anything extraordinary related to this case. First, maybe give us a little thumbnail sketch of who Colonel Conrad was, and then, because correct me if I'm wrong, but he's one of the few people that has like really gone into denial about this whole thing.
Well, no, he hasn't, and that's the problem. That's the perception of the UF, the skeptics. I dealt with Colonel Conrad. I sat down face to face with him in the last 3 years. What's interesting is that somebody that was contacting him contacted me, and he's a skeptic, and was running this big deal about different things. Well, I got involved, and what was funny was initially the person that contacted me asked me not to even make this public, and he ended up doing it down the line anyway. But Colonel Conrad, if you read the whole gist of what he said, was he said that first he was on the record originally when it first came out saying wasn't involved at all, didn't see anything. Later on, he came back and admitted he was monitoring the radio. But he ultimately said it could be many things, to include even alien contact. So he never really did say that he didn't believe it or anything else. What he did was scold Colonel Halt as an officer and a gentleman, implying that there was a cover-up going on. And that's what he really did. But what he did, but at the end of the day, his final summary was saying it could be many things, and if people took the time to investigate it and had the money, they could maybe put it all together. When I sat face to face with him, he had a bunch of questions for me. And at the time, I still hadn't worked that much on this phenomenon or hardly knew about it. But it made sense, some of the questions you were asking me. And you know what's funny? If you go in these papers, the military pilots and people, and Colonel Connor was the base, but he got moved up to deputy base or wing, and he flew. There's a correlation to this phenomenon can interact with aircraft, and it's in that report. And it's caused some issues before. It even says what pilots should and shouldn't do if they have an encounter. So a lot of these military guys, I think, know a lot more about it than they want to talk about, especially the officers and the flyers.
Right. Let me follow up quickly here, John. What should a pilot do if they encounter a UFO?
Can you tell them? Because I don't have it directly in front of me, and you might be able to. Because I know you brought that up in England the last time you went over, that you felt the MOD should make this more public.
As John said, one of the big parts of Project Condyne was actually what it said about air safety. And if you just bear with me a moment, it actually talks about the need for pilots to avoid these things. It says, and this, again, is a direct quote, "No attempt should be made to outmaneuver a UAP during interception." I mean, that's an extraordinary quote. And then there was a recommendation. It said, at higher altitudes, although UAP appear to be benign to civil air traffic, pilots should be advised not to maneuver other than to place the object astern if possible. Again, essentially what it's saying to pilots is, if you encounter these things, be careful and don't try and, you know, interact. Just get out of the way. Maneuver it out of the way, whatever it is.
Well, that sounds pretty sensible.
Yeah, sage advice.
Right, just get the heck out of the way before something happens, and that raises all sorts of questions about whether something has happened. We have more questions from our listeners about the book Encounter in Rendlesham Forest, the inside story of the world's best documented UFO incident. Two of the three authors are here, Nick Pope and John Burroughs. And we've got five more segments to cover lots of ground, so let's get on with it. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. When the cleaners ruined some special clothing, all they could do was show us a sign that said they weren't responsible. But when they got the letter from one of our Legal Shield attorneys, he promptly gave us a check for $1,152. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Harvest Right is the world's first in-home freeze dryer. Freeze dry your own fruits, vegetables, meats, and full meals. With Harvest Right, you can prepare foods that last 25 years, preserving its freshness, nutrition, color, and taste. All your food can be freeze dried. So don't throw away your leftovers. Freeze dry them with this incredible in-home money-saving freeze dryer. Go to HarvestRight.com to see how the Harvest Right freeze dryer works. That's HarvestRight.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows, pause and rewind live TV, even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond OsteoFX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Here on the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we're talking about Encounter in Rendlesham Forest with Nick Pope and John Burroughs. Wanted to ask you very quickly, Nick, did the Ministry of Defense documents indicate any serious level encounters by pilots with UFOs, attempts to shoot them down or vice versa?
Well, I would not say a shoot down, but let me put it this way. If you go back in the Ministry of Defense files and indeed in the Civil Aviation Authority files, now the CAA is the British equivalent of the FAA, you will find if you go into these files several dozen near misses between commercial aircraft and UFOs, and some military cases too. There has not been, so far as I'm aware, in the UK, any incident where a pilot has actually... I correct that. Yes, there has been. There was one shoot-down or attempted shoot-down, which was the case of Milton Torres from 1957. Interestingly, he was a US pilot on exchange with the RAF. He has said that when he was on his exchange tour, there was an incident where he was intercepted in response to a UFO that was being tracked on radar, and he was actually ordered to bring it down. He got a lock on his airborne radar, but before he was able to get to a firing range, the UFO suddenly accelerated away at very high Mach speed. Now, there are a couple of other cases that you and listeners may be familiar from overseas, the case of Parviz Jafari in Iran from 1976, where he attempted to shoot an air-to-air missile at a UFO that he was encountering, and the case of Comandante Huertas from Peru, interestingly, 1980, same year as Rendlesham. He did open fire on a UFO that had strayed into restricted military airspace with his cannon.
And it's a 30-millimeter cannon, and the object appeared to absorb the rounds.
That's the one. Very interesting case. Yes, I guess in the UK there has been one alleged attempted shoot-down, but most of the encounters are near misses. But no less terrifying, of course. I mean, there are reports, again, in the Ministry of Defense files of pilots shouting, look out, and bracing for impact as these objects or phenomena, whatever they are, come as they judge it, dangerously close to their aircraft. And indeed, even now, following the termination of the MOD's UFO project in 2009, of course, these cases haven't stopped. And in recent months, I think two or three new cases from the UK alone have emerged. So this does go on. And, of course, the other thing is it's hugely underreported. Pilots, like military officers, have real career issues if they start talking about UFO sightings. But pilots have found a way around it. And what they do is they tend to use phrases like unusual aircraft and unconventional helicopter. So watch out for those phrases in apparently innocuous near-miss reports.
I think they're called ass covers.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, we have a couple of questions here for Nick here that I guess Jimmy H. is asking one, and also Eric Red. And I'll paraphrase both questions together. And that's, you know, Nick, you've probably done quite a bit of off-the-record digging behind the scenes with government contacts and military contacts. When it comes to the Rendlesham Forest, Bentwaters case, have you been told in confidence anything by someone that has somehow changed your thinking and you know, in some ways validated the case more in your mind?
No, I haven't. But what I have had, actually following publication of the book, is a couple of people who were also involved at the time of the incident contact me, and I put them, I've given out, John, your email address to a couple of these people, so I don't know if they've been in touch with you and Jim yet. So one or two people are perhaps now coming forward as a result of the book, which was one of the things that we'd hoped for. But no, nobody, to go back to the question, has taken me aside and said, look, Nick, off the record, X, Y, and Z.
Okay. Another thing that's surprised me about the case is the actual coming forward by the base commander, Colonel Holt, who has been on the Paracast, too, I might add. And this is pretty, I think, unprecedented for a base commander to come forward and really explain to the best of his knowledge what happened, his involvement in the case. This is highly unusual. What are your thoughts, John, about this, about the whole role of Charles Holt in this?
Well, for starters, he didn't have a choice because when the memo came out, his name was on it. You know, the one thing that was interesting from early on when the memo first came out and the contact I had from Department of Defense on this was they wanted to establish there was no cover-up. Now, there was some work early on by Scott Colburn and another individual he was working with, and they done it through Senator Exxon. And what happened was Exxon started looking into it personally, and he found out there was interdepartmental memos and stuff going on about it. But what he came back and said, and he talked to Colonel Holt, was to them was that didn't involve anybody in my constituents, so I'm not going to push this any farther. But the one thing that's going on is they're not appearing to cover up something happened. All they're doing is saying we'll go by the Holt memo, which has kind of put Colonel Holt in the limelight. Now, over the years, he's come out and got a little bit more bolder and bolder with it, even said, you know, it appeared to be under intelligent control. He's scolded me to tell me I need to accept that we're not alone, different things. The one issue I have with him, and that's my personal issue, is he keeps implying that we were interrogated and had psilocybin pentothal used on us, but he implies it like he knew we had it happen to us. Now, my problem with that is twofold. Number one, if he knew about it when it was going on, he had duty of care and didn't stop it. And number two, if he found out about it later, he should be pushing harder for an inquiry, because if different people that remember it and some people that think they remember it, it did happen to us, we were treated like war criminals. And that's not the way you treat U.S. soldiers or military people doing their job, not including the health issues that we've had also. So I think he's done a lot of what he can based on his security clearances and what he knows, and he's tried to stay on the edge on some stuff, and he wants to help, but he's sort of held back by security clearances. But I do have a problem when he keeps implying that we were interrogated and we were messed with and we don't remember what happened to us, you know, without him backing that up. Because if he really has proof, something should be done about it.
That's a little bit disturbing. My goodness. You know, I'm sure there are enhanced and advanced interrogation techniques, but when you're trying to pull information out of your own guys, and you resort to things that may have some questionable.
Well, he said it happened. He said it's happened more than one time. He's been on the record quite a bit. Jim went under hypnosis, and that came out, that they used some sodium pentothal on him. Other people have used the different sodium amethyl or something. But the bottom line is, what concerns me is this. You know, a lot of people say they remember this, but Colonel Halt says it happened. Now, again, that means that he knows something happened to us, and that involves duty of care. And that needs to be – he needs to do more about it is what I feel, other than just talk about it. He needs – if he's a frontline colonel that knows this happened to us, then he needs to get behind us and force Congress to look into what happened to us. Why were we interrogated? What exactly happened over there? I mean, I understand SAP, Special Access Programs, and National Defense are important. But, you know, if we were interrogated several of us are having health issues, then I think it's his job to do more than he's doing.
Okay, now we've had Colonel Halt on the show because he's made public appearances in connection with the Rendlesham incident. So you're saying here that you expected him or hoped that maybe after all these years he would give his troops more support for all the pain and agony they've encountered.
Yeah, I'm saying that if he knows for a fact and has got proof that we were interrogated, then he should be contacting somebody, you know, in Congress and asking them to do an investigation. Because why were military personnel exposed to interrogation just doing their job?
Have you reached out to him about this?
Yeah, we've had an interesting exchange, and some of it's private, but he appears to know more than he's saying. And I'm not saying he has to go public with this, you know, where if it goes behind closed doors and it's classified, national defense, then so be it. But then something needs to be done. But I will tell you this, and this is something that's down the line. It was an earlier question asked. I've got a lawyer that's working with me on this.
Okay, let's cover this more in our next segment, okay, John?
Okay.
Very good. Our guests are John Burroughs, one of the people who witnessed the Rendlesham UFO, Nick Pope, who worked with the UK Ministry of Defense. The book is called Encounter in Rendlesham Forest, a high quality hardcover book, as a matter of fact. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.